beware and prepare for something spine-tingling, something horrifying, pure terror to your eardrums. This is Epic Film Guy's B-Sides.
And welcome, ghouls, ghosts, maniacs, and slashers, and maybe a couple of aliens out there. I am Epic Film Guy Justin, and I'd like to welcome each and every one of you crazy bastards to a brand new segment for the Epic Film Guys, Epic Film Guys B-Sides. That's right, we're going to be talking about what many would like to call the underbelly of cinema. Anything from slasher flicks to alien invasion movies to, hey, a couple of action movies here and there. You never know what's going to show up on this segment, but it will be the nitty-gritty, deep, dark, crazy side of movies that we don't talk about much on the Epic Film Guys podcast. I and my permanent co-host, Brian. Welcome, Brian, to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah, man. This is our thing, and Nick will be showing up, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. This is not going to be a Nick-less show. It might be a Dick-less show, but not a Nick-less show. He'll be showing up from time to time, but as we all know, Nick is not the horror buff, horror lover, or, you know, shit movie lover that I am, so we're taking the opportunity here. We're going to hope you guys enjoy this. It's going to be a brand new segment, hopefully on a weekly basis, where we talk about all different kinds of B-movies, horror movies, and you name it. So we're going to go that way. But starting off this brand new segment, Brian, we let our fans decide, did we not?
We did. We put up a poll on our social media pages, a choice of five different movies, and the results were pretty overwhelming, Justin. People seem to really like Critters.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, the people demanded, we want the Krites, just like Bounty Hunter Ugg says in the film, and we are here to deliver.
That is correct. So thank you all, every single one of you out there that are listening right now that actually went on the social media on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, like I said, it was an overwhelming response. I was so happy, and I appreciate everyone that put the effort in, but Critters literally destroyed. But
it did.
Don't worry. A couple other movies on that list that we put out there are going to be touched on at some point. But yes, that is correct. So tonight, our first episode of Epic Film Guys B-Sides is going to be touching on Critters. So, hey, we know everyone out there really likes Critters a lot, but Brian, if they don't know about Critters, why don't you tell them what the film's about?
Well, the film opens on prison asteroid Sector 17, where we see some bizarre-looking aliens. Specifically, the one in the floating wheelchair thing has a head that looks like the tip of a penis.
It does.
Two intergalactic bounty hunters are sent to destroy these dangerous little creatures called Krites before they feed and grow to enormous sizes. But unfortunately, the monstrous little furballs crash land on Earth, specifically a small farm in Kansas, and begin to terrorize y'all's neighborhood. Now a family must protect each other and fight back against the critters.
Sounds like a great movie. When you hear someone say those words, just it sounds like the kind of movie that I just want to snuggle into bed with and cuddle all night long. And these little Krites, man, the little critters, they're definitely the kind of creature that I want to hold until it literally bites my throat and kills me. this is just one of those movies. Growing up, you know, not as much rotation as a lot of the other stuff that I've watched growing up, but definitely caught it as a kid, and it has a very special place in my heart. Now, let's get this out of the way. Everyone talks about this, so let's just push it right out of the way. Either some fans are like, I either love Critters or I love Gremlins. Okay, I love both. And there's a lot of controversy as to which film had the concept first, you know, who's first, who's more important. Obviously, Gremlins is way more important to pop culture and way larger of a name. But the rumor at hand is that Stephen Herrick, who co-wrote the film and is his directorial debut with Critters, has mentioned many, many a time, Brian, that he actually had this idea for Critters. They were working on this prior to Gremlins coming out. I don't know if you believe that or not, but
I believe it. Yeah,
it's totally possible. That does happen a lot, you know, even in the slasher genre, among other horror and science fiction genres where people have ideas and it sounds similar to something else, you know, Friday the 13th, The Burning, you know, lots of other movies like that are similar. In this case, I think both have their strengths. I actually really, really like Gremlins, but I really, really like Critters as well. And they're different. You know, they have a different thing going on there that makes each very, very special compared to the other.
I would agree. They're similar, but Gremlins is more of a, I don't know. It's Gremlins is far more demented and just kind of Looney Tunes in a way that Critters necessarily, I feel like it's a little bit more, oh, I don't want to say grounded, but it, ultimately it's very simple. It's a very simple story, and it's not as chaotic, I guess, as Gremlins is. It's definitely fair to invite comparisons between them, but, you know, like you said, each have their strengths, each have their weaknesses, and yeah.
So, I mean, key thing is, Gremlins was basically, the way that was shopped was as an R-rated, very violent film, and it's got some mean-spirited moments, whereas I feel like Critters, there's some brutal stuff going on, but you never lose that sense of fun in the film. You know, as you go throughout the film, when the critters are causing havoc, and you see deaths or people getting bit, or, you know, it's not like over-the-top brutal. Like, we see some blood there, but it's not like, I feel like the entire film is fun, and that's one of the best things about it.
Yeah, well, I was going to make this point, Justin. The Krites themselves walk that fine line between hilarious and horrifying. Of course, they're flesh-eating monstrosities, but I couldn't help but just die laughing every time they roll around. They look like pissed off.
Oh, I love it.
They look like pissed-off dust bunnies. It's wonderful. But, you know, they have lots of sharp teeth and poison quills that shoot out like porcupines. So, I mean, they're still pretty menacing, but... hey, I can't help but laugh. Some of the snorting sounds the Krites make sound like the noises your dog Goji makes.
That's 100% accurate. I would have to agree with you. And that's
Goji. Goji is the living embodiment of a snort. If a snort were a dog, it would be Goji.
I'd have to agree. I think she'd appreciate that sentiment. You know, and it's funny because the noises and the way they're designed, and by the way, let's get this out of the way as well. Everyone out there that loves this movie knows that the Chiodas brothers worked on Critters. Now, yes. If you don't know that name, I'm sure if we bring up Killer Clowns from Outer Space, that might ring a bell. Those are the guys that did they directed that film, they worked on it, they did all the effects for that movie, and they've been in the industry for a long time. They've worked on many films. You mentioned Dinner for Schmucks, among many, many others, but those guys, their visual aesthetic is front and center in Critters. You can tell when you look at those Krites, those guys had their hand directly into it. They came up with it, and they're kind of cute. I mean, they are completely vicious, brutal little bastards. You look at them, you're like, I wouldn't know if I want to cuddle the bastard or kick him across the room and, you know, blow him up, as you get to see in the film happen. But it's a great design. Honestly, I'd have to go out on a limb and say that I love the design of the Krites just as much as I love the design of the Gremlins in Gremlins. And they're two very different things, but as you said, Brian, you know, they're fun, they're cool to watch, and they're hilarious. And I just love the way they were done in the film, the practical effects.
Yeah,
and
I can imagine if I watched this as a child, because this was my first time seeing the film. So if I watched this as a child, it would be nightmare fuel. I'd be terrified of the critters, just as I was terrified of the stop motion animation in Pee-wee's Big Adventure with Large Marge, which you know, the effects people also worked on. So you know, they're good at creating nightmare fuel.
Right, so I mean, we're just kind of going off the rails with this one, but hey, let's face it, Critters is just a fun time. It's not like there's a very deep premise here or deep, there's nothing here that's more than meets the eye. It's a very fun movie. And you know, I found this interesting, Brian. When you go back to films of the 80s especially, I always love to like go back and read or watch reviews from Siskel and Ebert. And funny enough, I was expecting going back when I was like, oh man, they probably hated this movie. They liked it. Siskel and Ebert actually liked Critters, dude. And really? It's funny to listen to them talk about that in their review, their television series. And they were like, they liked it. They recommended Critters. And wow. Like, it's like, just thinking about that logically, I'm like, how many movies did they bash and they hated on so much? That I loved those guys. They're my idols, but you know, so many awesome horror films that I love, they just hated. But Critters, really, out of all of them, they liked Critters.
Well, yeah, that's a good point you bring up. First of all, I adore Siskel and Ebert. They were masters of their craft, and Roger Ebert especially is one of my personal heroes. But I can kind of see why they liked it. I mean, ultimately, this is a very simple story about a family who comes together during a crisis. You know, and there is some mild characterization in the film. You know, the young hero Brad and his sister come to respect each other, because at the beginning of the film, you know, they're always arguing and picking on each other, as siblings do. But you know, so there's some mild characterization there, and then Brad has his, you know, save the cat moment. You know what save the cat means?
I do not. Why don't you just tell me what it's all about,
Brad? Sure. Well, it's a phrase coined by Blake Snyder in his book about screenwriting, also called Save the Cat. It's when the hero does something that makes the audience like and sympathize with him or her more. It's in reference to the scene in Alien wherein Ripley goes back to save Jones the cat.
Jonesy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again in Critters, Brad literally saves the cat when he goes back for Chewie.
Chewie, could that possibly be a Star Wars reference?
It probably is. but you know, so there's some slight, you know, characterization and heroics going on in the movie, and so maybe that's what they responded to. That's what they appreciated about it. Who knows?
That's totally possible. It does have a very lighthearted feel to it, even when shit's hitting the fan and, you know, bad stuff's happening. It's just, you kind of just feel like you're having fun the entire time. And I feel like it's funny thinking about when this film was released. It was 1986. It was 2 years after Gremlins, almost 2 years after Gremlins came out, you know, what demographic they were going for. But the film was actually a hit, and it was for New Line. You know, Bob Shea, New Line Cinema, you got to love him there. Lynn Shea showing up there. Yeah. You got to love some young Lynn Shea there, because, you know, you see her pop up in all kinds of horror stuff. Even today, like, you know, she's all over the place. But, I felt for the most part that the cast in the film was pretty good here. Obviously, the range is not that far they have to go. It's really very simple for them what they have to do. But I got to tell you, I got to ask you, Billy Zane, dude. And that okay. Haircut, the ponytail, man. Billy okay. Zane, dude.
Billy Zane plays the boyfriend character, the dork from New York, Steve. And at first I didn't know it was Billy Zane until I saw the credits, and lo and behold, Billy Zane's name showed up. And I was like, holy crap, Billy Zane of the Phantom fame, he has hair in this movie.
Yeah, it's long, and he's got like a ponytail. Like,
he is rocking the most amazing ponytail I've ever seen in my life.
It fucking rules, dude. I wish, honestly, I was telling Danielle when we were watching it, I'm like, I have to do my hair like that, and she just looks at me with like, death stare, dude. Never happening.
But yeah, I mean, cast is decent all around. I mean, you don't really watch a movie like Critters for the great performances. But, you know, even so, everyone plays their part well. Dee Wallace plays the mother. And let me tell you, Justin, no one can scream like this woman.
I know, dude.
It's no surprise that she earned a reputation as a scream queen in films like The Hills Have Eyes and The Howling. She's outstanding in the film. I really like her.
Yeah, and I love that little kind of like reference that's in there, you know, when the one Krait eats, what are you, to the E.T. doll, and then yeah. rips the head off the E.T. doll, and obviously Dee Wallace played the mother in E.T., yeah, you know, and love the hell out of her. She's such a great horror icon within her own right, and she's good in this. She shows as much range as she possibly can. I feel like at this point in her career, she had done, you know, The Howling already, she had already done E.T., you know, she'd done a couple other films, so, you know, this was probably a good paycheck for her, and she likes to at conventions, man, she does talk very, very much, very well about the film. She doesn't hate it. She doesn't give it a shit. She appreciates it. You know, it's a fun little film, and, you know, she brought a name to it. So for horror fans of the time, you gotta think, man, a horror fan of the early 80s, man, like, oh, Dee Wallace is in this, you know. But the one thing that comes to mind, I don't know if anyone out there knows this, and it's gonna be kind of going off the rails yet again, but when I'm watching this movie, it brings me back to an interview I read with Steven Spielberg, which was his original concept for E.T., which was actually an alien coming down from outer space and terrorizing the family within their home. So almost a home invasion thriller with an alien. That was his original concept for E.T. As he moved on and he felt it was the wrong thing to do, that turned into Poltergeist, and E.T. turned into a family film. But the concept of critters is very much the same thing. It's a family out in the middle of nowhere, and they're terrorized by these little alien creatures that are brutally vicious. All they want to do is eat and destroy everything. So I know I'm going on a limb here, but for some reason, as I was rewatching Critters recently, I kept thinking that concept, it sounds so familiar. Oh yeah, that's Spielberg's original concept for E.T. Not sure if you knew that or not, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I knew about Steven Spielberg E.T. initially, what he was envisioning for it, but you're right. It seems like Critters may have gotten some inspiration.
It's totally possible. Hey man, stuff works its way in Hollywood, you know? Slips yeah. through the cracks, people hear about it, you never know. But here with Critters, I think everything that they had going for them worked very well. I think this is one of the more successful films of the 80s that's within the genre of little crazy little monsters running around. Obviously, we have Ghoulies, we have Goblins, we have all kinds of other films that are within this realm, you know, especially compared to Gremlins, none of them really stack up. But Critters, in my opinion, definitely does. It's fun all the way through. It's good to look at. It's got a great score. And like I said, it never takes itself too seriously. So you're not sitting there kind of like looking at your watch like, okay, you know, I have to wait for the attempted dramatic portion of this film to end. It's just a great time all around.
I wholeheartedly agree with your sentiments. It didn't rock my world or anything, you know.
Well, because this was your first time watching it, correct?
It Brian? Was. It was. So, you know, watching it now from a 23-year-old dude's perspective, I guess, you know, it was enjoyable for what it was. I can see why it's a cult classic. I can see why people love it. It does feature a song called "Power of the Night." It is an 80s ballad, so epic.
It's amazing.
It will literally melt your face off.
I fucking love it, dude. It fucking rules. I love it so fucking much. That's another haircut. I looked at Danielle, I'm like, please let me do that haircut. Please, dude.
That'd be rad. That'd be so rad. Also, there are a few things more adorable than a cat in a mailbox, and a cat does end up in a mailbox in this movie, so it has that going.
It does, and that happens right after a very impressive shot, mind you, of a house rebuilding itself after it had been torn down. Obviously, it's a reverse shot. We know this. But the way it was done either way, Brian, was extremely, for me, it was awesome. I mean, I was really, really impressed by that. And you got to see some shit blow up in Critters. Some really big explosions for its budget, which I could not find on the internet, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 1986. It's hard to find a budget of a film from way back then. But
there needs to be some features on this. Why isn't there a Blu-ray of this film? Why
does that's one thing. I wanted to end this segment with that, Brian, but you beat me to the punch, you bastard.
Sorry.
You're totally right, though. You're totally right. Hey, man, listen, there's a DVD of this that looks like shit. And I had to rent this thing on Amazon, and I put it in HD, and it still looked like shit. Scream Factory, where are you, bro? Arrow, where are you, bro? Dude, this is a movie. They need to get out there. And a lot of people are like, they don't want to license it out. New Line, who's owned by Warner Brothers now, they don't want to license it. They don't want to do anything with it. I'm like, why? Dude, let Scream Factory do their shit with this and bring everyone back to talk about it. Dude, for real, this is what fans want. This is a movie that definitely would benefit from even a 2K or maybe even a 4K scan. I know that they wouldn't do 4K, but do you agree? 2K scan, man. This would be a huge hit. This would sell out, man. Do a deluxe version of this with some brand new artwork. I really have no idea. I can't even fathom why this has not been done
yet. It'd be a day one purchase for me.
Exactly, dude. And that's what it's all about. So Critters, there it is. Hey guys, this is the first episode of Epic Film Guys B-Sides, and we want to hear from you. Tell us what you want us to do. What do you want us to talk about? Hey, you got any ideas for certain parts of the show? Any new segments that you want us to add in? Whatever. Let us know. This is something new. This is different. And we want your feedback most definitely. Please, please let us know. But hey, tonight we talked about Critters, and it's kind of just a love letter. It is what it is, but just like on the regular Epic Film Guys podcast, our main show, we are going to rate the films we're talking about. So throwing it back to official Epic Film Guy, Brian Loy, aka Loy Sauce, for his rating of Critters.
Well, first of all, I'm honored that you have bestowed upon me the title of Epic Film Guy, Brian. It means a lot because I started out as a fan and we became friends and, you know, so it means a lot to me. But as far as my rating goes, I'd have to give Critters a 7 out of 10. I very much enjoyed it. I'd be curious to watch the sequels now.
Is that 7 crates out of 10 crates?
Yes, 7 crates out of 10. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I have no idea what kind of reputation the sequels have or if they're even any good, but I'm definitely curious. Isn't baby Leonardo DiCaprio in the third one?
He's in the third one, baby. He's in the Leo. Third one. And from time to time, he is known that he will briefly mention it. He'll mention it in passing. He definitely will. But it's awesome. That's his first thing that he ever did. But fans, this is all on you guys. If later down the line, 6 months from now, you want us to hit up Critters 2, 3, 4, whatever, man, let us know. We'll do that. But moving on to end this segment, this is going to be a short show. Mind you, we're going to try to keep these to like a 20 to 30 minute time period. We know you guys have all our regular minisodes to catch up on, our regular reviews, and our regular show. So it's going to be a lot more content, but this is awesome. And Nick and Brian and I are all really excited about this. We want to hear what you have to say about it. But for me, Critters, it's one of those fun movies, and I could watch it any day of the week and still be entertained. I could be sober, drunk, eating McDonald's as the Hopester. You guys didn't really hear that. That didn't happen. But I'm going to give Critters an 8 out of 10. I love it. It's great. It's fun. It knows what it's doing, and it does it well. So there
Very
it is.
Very good. Justin, I wanted to mention one last thing. You mentioned earlier in the podcast Robert Shea. And for people, I'm sure people who are listening to this know, but some may not, that Robert Shea is a producer of several of the Nightmare on Elm Street films, and also a film that we had put on the poll, a film called Extro.
That's correct.
You have not seen, but
I have not seen that. No,
it's one of the rare films that that I have seen and you have not. So at some point during the B-side segment, we're going to sit down and we're going to watch Extro because it's one of the greatest films ever made.
Whoa, dude, you're making my anticipation level for this like extremely high.
I'm building it up way too much, but it's so great.
Well, we're going to have to get to that at some point. This the cool thing about this segment, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have so much room to grow and we have so many films we can touch on. Like I said, we'll do B horror, B science fiction, B action. Hey, Commando might even show up. You never fucking know. We can do whatever we want on this segment here. And we want to hear back again from you guys. We want to interject everything you guys have to say, your feedback into the show. So be sure to let us know.
But tell them what's coming up next week.
Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, next week, Brian and I, this Saturday, we actually are going to be seeing the brand new 4K restoration of Phantasm. So, yes, we know that's more of an elegant piece as far as the horror genre is concerned. We're going to be touching on everything we possibly can in this segment, but we're really excited about this. We're going to be catching it at our local Alamo Draft House, so we're definitely going to be putting a lot of effort and time into that segment. So episode 2 will most definitely be for Phantasm, the new 4K restoration, because Brian has yet to see that film, isn't that right?
That is correct. It's my first time seeing it, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a fun time, and we actually get to watch a live stream Q&A. With the director and writer, Don Cascarelli of Phantasm. I probably said his last name wrong, but, you know, I'm a white guy. I suck at everything, so.
You suck at everything.
Leading out the segment here, I just wanted to remind every one of you that Stephen Herrick, who directed Critters as his first film, went on to do many great films. Not only did he do Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, immediately after Critters, 2 years later, he did Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, The Mighty Ducks, man.
Oh my God.
Those movies alone, you have to love Critters. If you don't, I'll come to your house. I'll find a way to make Critter and make it real and live and vicious, and I'll leave it in your house. We'll see what happens. But, dude, this movie did something good for him, and he has a lot of good movies under his belt. Just don't look later on down the line, you know, like Young MacGyver TV movie or Rush Hour, the TV series. Don't even look at that.
Well, hey, if you do Mr. Holland's Opus, that gets you a get-out-of-jail-free card for the rest of your career.
It should, man. Richard fucking Dreyfuss, dude. Oh, man. Fantastic. But hey, and thank you so much for listening to our first episode of Epic Film Guy's B-Sides. I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
Be sure to tune into our regular scheduled program on every Thursday. And yay, all of our Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat segment showing up within the week. We want to hear from you. Tell us how we can improve this segment. Tell us what films you want to hear us talk about. But until then, we will see you at the movies.